Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Riding on the city of New Orleans, Illinois Central, Monday morning rail. 15 cars and 15 restless riders, 3 conductors, 25 sacks of mail. All along the southbound Odyssey, train pulls out of Kankakee, rolls along past houses, farms, and fields. Passing trains that have no name, and freight yards full of old black men, and the graveyards of the rusted automobiles. Good morning, America.
And good evening, Minnesota. Hour number two, late night on a Wednesday. Eric in for Henry. Glad you're along for the ride. It is 10:07 here on the 50,000 watt boomstick. CCO. Chris Billy Tubbs is our studio coordinator. His job is to keep us airborne at right about 34,000 feet as we cruise through the night into the early morning hours.
Is that good altitude?
Until 1 a.m. Yeah. That's ideal.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. You've chosen a flight path, I'm told, that is going to be turbulence free. Well, is that accurate?
That's good. I don't have any idea where I'm going.
I mean, that's never a good thing when the pilot says, I have no idea where I'm going.
Yeah, you know what? I got my cup of coffee. I'm not gonna spill it. At least hopefully not. So let's just try not to bring this thing to a nosedive in the next 3 hours.
Yeah, two things you don't want to hear from your pilot as you board the jet. I don't know where I'm going, and boy, I wish I could have had another beer.
I'm sorry.
You'd like to not hear that.
I'm sorry. Does anybody have Wi-Fi or a hotspot? My GPS isn't working. How do I get to where I need to be? My GPS, I don't. Where do I turn left? I don't know. I don't know where we're going, but we're going to have a good time getting there.
Hand him your phone. All right, later this hour, we're going to preview what is a big college football game at TCF Bank Stadium. How often do we say that in the Twin Cities? But I'm calling Cornhuskers, Gophers, a game of significance in the Big Ten West, because Nebraska and Minnesota are two teams that think they can make a run at the Western Division title. Cornhuskers are 2-1 in the West. Minnesota is perfect at 2-0. Gophers, in fact, 5-0 on the year. It's a 6:30 kickoff. Saturday Night Lights at TCF Bank Stadium. Should be a lot of fun in what could be a rainy, snowy, and very windy night on the U of M campus. So later this hour, Ben McLaughlin, Nebraska sideline reporter on the Cornhusker Radio Network, will talk to us and to break it down from the Cornhusker perspective as they get set to come north for a game against Minnesota. By the way, our numbers, text us or call us, 651-989-9226, 651-989-9226. Anything is fair game. Minnesota Twins are out. They did a crash and burn. They went out in three games, as you all know, to the New York Yankees, who are literally kryptonite for this organization. That's 13 straight postseason losses to New York, 16 straight playoff defeats. The Twins now set their sights on the offseason. What do you think they need to do to get over the playoff hump? 651-989-9226, 651-989-9226. Also, this NBA versus China dust-up, have you been following this? Do you have an opinion or a take on this? Daryl Morey's the GM of the Houston Rockets. His tweet last week has set off a global firestorm. Basically, Morey said this on Twitter: fight for freedom, stand with Hong Kong. Houston Rockets owner Tillman Fertitta instantly downplayed the now deleted tweet and said the Rockets are not into making political statements. Now, the NBA has a huge footprint in China and wants to keep growing their brand in that country. China did not like it when Morey took to the Twitterverse and the dominoes began to fall. Tencent, a Chinese media outlet, has a $1.5 billion deal with the association to air league content. But Tencent announced it would not carry any Houston games. And keep in mind, the Houston Rockets, they have cachet. They are a marquee team with James Harden, the beard, and Paul George now down there with the Rockets. So they're not going to carry the Rockets because they're upset about the GM standing with Hong Kong. Don't think this thing isn't political. Now, the NBA, of course, has sold its soul to appease China. It's all about the Benjamins. According to the LA Times, the prospect of the LA Lakers and Brooklyn Nets actually playing a basketball game in Shanghai this week now looks questionable. The Times reporting that workers were tearing down advertisements to the week's NBA games in Shanghai. This was happening before the Lakers and Nets were scheduled to address the media today. The three Lakers depicted on one side of a building had already come down. One worker began to peel the image off Nets guard Spencer Dinwiddie off the wall. And the only thing that remained was part of LeBron James on this building. Again, the NBA makes a lot of money in China. And this is a global dust-up, the NBA against China. 651-989-9226. 651-989-9226. Call us or text us. Let's go to the capital city of St. Paul. Neil, you're on Late Night.
Hey, how you doing? Yeah, I don't want to touch that Chi-Con thing. I'm just going to let that one sit. Yeah, about the president calling or asking Cousins to call him, I don't know if that's so much a political thing or looking for publicity. I don't think the president needs publicity. I think, you know, my thoughts are maybe they're just friends. You know, possibly they're friends and they had a relationship, because obviously President Trump, they had his agent's number. So they played golf and maybe they've talked. You know, maybe it was just nothing more than they're friends. And he just wanted to call and say, hey, good game. And, you know, anything with Trump, it's going to be, you know, made out to be something bigger than probably what it is. But I'm just saying maybe it's, you know, Trump's a human being, Cousins a human being. Maybe he just wanted to say, hey, pal, good game. I don't know. What do you think about that?
It's certainly possible. I'm not going to pretend to know the background to Kirk Cousins and President Donald Trump. We know they golfed in 2017. We know once upon a time Kirk was the starting quarterback in Washington. And look, the Washington Redskins, even though they are a disaster right now, they're one of the worst-run franchises in all of pro sports with Daniel Snyder leading the way. They just fired Jay Gruden this week. They're a huge deal, though, in D.C., or at least they used to be. And presidents and politicians have aligned themselves with that franchise over the years. So you could be right. I don't want to read into it any more than what I know. I'll say this. If President Donald Trump did have political motivation for, you know, getting a hold of Kirk Cousins a few days before he's coming to Minneapolis for a rally at Target Center, let's be blunt here. Kirk Cousins is not the most popular guy in the state of Minnesota, so I don't know if that wins him a lot of votes.
Well, no, that's exact. That's, I mean, Trump doesn't really need any publicity. I mean, I think he's pretty well known already. You know, I mean, he doesn't have any trouble having a rally. I mean, there's thousands of people that already are either support him or against him, you know, and it's not I don't think it's a publicity thing. I really don't think it is. I think just purely think it was, I mean, possibly it was just friendship going, hey, buddy. But, you know, Trump coming into town, it's not the connection of publicity with Cousins. I don't think that makes too much sense.
All right, Neil, thanks for the take. Yeah. I do appreciate it. We know one thing, POTUS 45 is a lightning rod. That's what we do know.
And it could be completely coincidental. I mean, yeah, They were both in Washington at one point. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. You get yourself into trouble when you start to read into things, because then you start to think things that aren't there, and then you overthink it, and then you convolute it, and then it's done.
Yeah, and I'm not going to read too much into this. And Kirk Cousins has every right to handle it the way he wants to. I mean, I think he played it right down the middle today. Hey, left, right, in the middle. The president calls, you're going to pick up the phone, or you're going to call him back if he wants you to contact him. So that's Cousins' takeaway on it. We'll go back to the phone lines. To Maple Grove we go. Mark, you're on CCO.
Hi, Eric. Well, I'll tell you, number one, I feel just empty. I mean, I was really hoping for a nice Twins run, and my son came in from out of state and brought my grandchildren. We had a wonderful day on Sunday and went to the game on Monday, and the crowd of 41,000 was ready to explode and had nothing to explode about, and it was just tough.
Well, you're exactly right. I was at the ballpark too, Mark. I thought that Target Field crowd waving the red homer hankies, they were unbelievable. They did everything they could possibly do. They held up their end of the bargain, even when the Twins were losing and you knew they weren't going to come back. They just had to leave in frustration and disappointment. And obviously you were one of those fans who left the building saying, wow, did we just get swept again?
I know. And it was just, it was a great crowd, as you said. And after the second inning, when we didn't score with the bases loaded, no one out, I looked at my son and I said, it's over. And I hated to think that, but it just, that was our opportunity.
For sure.
To get over the hump, we need a number one. And we just don't have one yet, a number one pitcher. Someone that can stop a slide, you know, like a Johan Santana used to do. We need someone like that. And Gerrit Cole would have been a wonderful addition to this staff.
Well, Gerrit Cole is still with the Houston Astros, and the free agency period is coming up, so there's always a chance, as they once said in a movie. But based on the Twins' past, it's probably not going to happen. But you're totally right, and thanks for the call, Mark. They need a legitimate, bona fide ace. Somebody that you know can stop a slump, somebody that can get out and get it done in October, a whatever it takes guy. And I think it's the elephant in the room, Chris. This ball club has so many positives. I thoroughly enjoyed going out to Target Field and watching the Twins this season. You know, they were a thrill a minute. All the Bombas and the winning and 101 victories. But the playoff ending was a thud. First team ever in LDS history to win 100 or more games and get swept. I mean, you can't sugarcoat
no,
that.
No, I think the front office, they're not the ostrich head in the sand. I have to believe that they know that's the Achilles heel, especially when you look at what everybody else in the playoffs is doing. Tyler Glasgow, Blake Snell. You talk about Charlie Morton on Tampa Bay. I mean, you've got some of the best pitchers in the National League in this series right now. Walker Buehler, Clayton Kershaw, Max Scherzer, Steven Strasburg, Patrick Corbin. They know that pitching matters. And if there's ever an opportunity to, what do the kids say? Turn up and turn out? Is that what the kids are saying now? This is it. They have got to show us in this offseason that they are serious about taking this team to the next level. Otherwise, you know what? Kluber's not going to be hurt next year. Clevenger's not going to struggle at time to time. You got Shane Bieber coming back. You get a really good rotation with the Cleveland Indians. Don't expect Cleveland to fall as far behind as they did this year as they did this year.
The Indians will not fall into Lake Erie. They probably will be better next season. You know, they say in real estate it's all about location, location, location. In Major League Baseball in October, it's all about pitching, pitching, and pitching. Julie has been waiting in Minneapolis. Hi, Julie.
Hi. Hopefully my phone won't drop off here. This isn't why I called, but I'm going to listen carefully to WCCO tomorrow. I'm going to be very interested when the final, you know, cutoff of all the streets in Minneapolis happens. I have a friend that's going to be working security, and he's been told to report at 2 p.m., and then there's an additional shutdown of streets, but I'm going to the dentist, so I don't know. The reason I called is my niece grew up in the metro area here, and she's in Hong Kong. And her communication with her parents is really terrible there. You know, in Minnesota here, we think of protest as being a certain way. But in there, she said people that are protesting are putting their lives on the line. The oppression is just total. Like my sister and her husband, they're not supposed to ask her about what's going on in Hong Kong. I mean, she gets her feelings known to them, but there was somebody at work that was forced to go to their home country because they got on social media or something. So it's really an awful thing. She's functioning well. She's the youngest person where she's working, and she's the only American. So we're pretty darn lucky that we can protest in America, because it's really a horrible thing over there, and I just wanted to share that with you guys.
All right. We thank you for that, Julie. A good point. And things definitely are much different in China than they are here in the U.S. and the NBA in a huge conundrum because they make a lot of money. There's a Chinese basketball association over there run by Yao Ming. They have now cut ties from the Houston Rockets, and Ming is an all-time Rocket legend.
And you think out of all of the franchises in the NBA that would make this misstep, the Houston Rockets, and you mentioned Yao Ming. There is a strong connection between the Houston Rockets and the Chinese market. So this tells you just how much of a misstep that it is perceived by Tillman Fertitta, the Rockets owner. And you notice how he came out lickety-split, like, whoa, no, you can't. And, I mean, it's a very hot-button topic because owners feel like they should say something, but they don't understand or they're not thinking ahead to what the ramifications from the business side are going to be. And I tell you what, that's your strongest international market for the NBA is China. They're trying to build the global game. I'm going to be very curious because this isn't like you say something to a husband or a wife or a boyfriend or a girlfriend and you just, you know, a couple days later, you kiss and make up. This cuts pretty deep. This is going to be hard to repair.
Yeah, for sure. I think you're right. And the NBA, which over the years has easily been the most progressive major professional sports league in North America when it comes to, minority advancement, female integration. I mean, the San Antonio Spurs hire Becky Hammon as assistant coach with Greg Popovich. They've been ahead of the curve when it comes to, being progressive and all inclusive. And now the NBA looks very corporate because they don't want to take a shot at China, because if they do, they're going to lose some bucks. So it's all about the Benjamins, even with the NBA in China. It's 10:23 on Lake Night on CCO. Lake Night on a Wednesday here on CCO. Eric in for Henry. Bottom seven now at Dodger Stadium. That's a game five, NLDS. And Los Angeles on top of Washington 3-1. The winner will take on St. Louis in the NLCS. Cardinals today absolutely battered the Braves in Atlanta 13-1. St. Louis scored 10 runs in the first inning. Back to those phone lines. Again, the number is 651-989-9226. Kathy in Northeast Minneapolis, you're on Lake Dine. Hey, Kathy.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing good.
That's great. I work for the Twins. I'm an usher. I'm in my sixth year, and this was the best year. It was so much fun. And I was at the game Monday night, froze a little bit, but it's just a shame that we couldn't pull the trigger with the guys.
Yeah, it was very deflating. I don't think there's any way to spin it. Again, everybody knew it was an uphill climb. It was like trying to get to the top of Mount Everest. You're down 0-2 to the New York Yankees, 27-time World Series champs come rolling in. But you think, okay, if you can get game three, then maybe you change the narrative a bit. And you have another game coming up on Tuesday. And who knows what kind of momentum can be generated from that. Look what's happened in the Rays and Astros. Look what's happened in the Dodgers and Nats. Teams that were down in the series have come back. So you're right, it was deflating. And I can't put it on the fans, though, Kathy. You were there. You were working the game. I was in the ballpark. They were great. They were really invested in that game.
Well, actually, I paid to see the game, and my sister and I were supposed to help raise the flag on the next game, but that wasn't meant to be.
Woulda, coulda, shoulda.
Yeah, I know. It would have been a thrill to hold up that flag because we're season ticket holders also. So I see a lot of baseball, and I love it.
What
love
section are you in at Target Field?
We were in 327, up on top, and it was pretty breezy up there, but great view.
And where do you what section do you work?
I work for guest services as an usher.
Okay.
And it's a great job. They're so nice to us, and it's a dream job for me. I just love it.
All right, Kathy. Enjoy the off season, and you know what? The Twins will be back in action late next March. That's when the MLB season now starts, in March. So we appreciate the call from Kathy in Northeast Minneapolis. In a few minutes, we'll talk some Big Ten football. Ben McLaughlin, sideline reporter, Nebraska Cornhuskers Radio Network, will join us here on CCO. It's late night on a hump day here in Minneapolis, St. Paul, the Twin Cities, 10:33 on CCO. Eric Nelson with you in for Henry. Thanks so much for joining us. And wow, some drama at Dodger Stadium, Game 5 NLDS. Clayton Kershaw, who's a great regular season pitcher, but in October, he is tainted. He has not been a guy who has delivered in the postseason, and tonight he comes in relief of Walker Buehler, and he just gave up back-to-back home runs to the Nationals in the eighth inning. The last one hit by Juan Soto, and Washington has tied it up with the LA Dodgers 3-3. That's a Game 5. Winner goes on to the NLCS to play the St. Louis Cardinals.
Yeah, and it was Anthony Rendon before that, so it is Rendon and Juan Soto. Back-to-back off of
Kershaw. And Kershaw's going to get the hook from manager Dave Roberts, and this will taint his legacy. This is a fabulous regular season pitcher, but in October, he's hardly Reggie Jackson. They're not calling him Mr. October out in SoCal. We'll keep you updated on that one in Los Angeles. Gophers will host the Cornhuskers Saturday Night Lights at TCF Bank Stadium. We could have rain. We could have snow. We should have a lot of wind. It'll be college football in the elements the way it's supposed to be. And Cornhusker Nation will be descending on the Twin Cities here shortly. And joining us now from the Nebraska Radio Network, Brian McLaughlin, their sideline reporter. And Brian, thanks so much for joining us. And does the fan base still flock to all the road games, Brian?
Yeah, we're expecting a lot of Husker fans up there. It's a good alumni base for the Huskers, and it's one of the drivable trips. And Minneapolis is a great city with a lot to offer. So yeah, I would expect a good amount of Husker fans there.
All right, Ben, I think at least in what I've been reading this week out of Lincoln, the quarterback for the Cornhuskers, the sophomore Adrian Martinez, he practiced this morning, wore full pads, but there's still some issues with the knee. Can you update us on Adrian Martinez?
Yeah, he was in pads today, which is progress. But, it's a knee issue that they're working through with him. And it'll be, I would say right now, it's a game-time decision on who Nebraska is going to start at quarterback. And Husker fans around here are really hoping that he does get the nod because he had such a good game against Minnesota last year. But if he can't go, then it's going to be Noah Vedral, who was with this last coaching staff at Central Florida and then transferred back to his home state in Nebraska to be a part of the Scott Frost offense here in Lincoln. So it's going to be his ball if Adrian can't go.
Break down those two quarterbacks. Is there much separation between the two?
Yeah, I think there's a fair amount of separation. At least coming into the season, there was a lot of hype around Adrian Martinez. He hasn't played nearly as well this year as he probably would have liked. His numbers just aren't what they were a year ago, and certainly turning the ball over has been a huge issue. So that hasn't been an ideal scenario for the Husker offense and Adrian. Noah is a competitor. He's not nearly as big, doesn't have the arm talent as Adrian, and I think he runs it probably just as good. But it's going to be certainly a different look for Nebraska at quarterback if Adrian can't go. And the one good thing is that if there's anybody that knows the offense the best on the team, it's going to be Noah Vedrill, is because he had an extra year of it down in Orlando with Coach Frost. So, yeah, when you're comparing the two, I think physically Adrian's size is the first thing that stands out, you know, 6'2", 6'3", 230 pounds. But, you know, the main difference is going to be, you know, with the arm and what the coaches let him be able to do in terms of trust.
Ben McLaughlin, our guest, he's the sideline reporter for the Nebraska Cornhuskers Radio Network again on Saturday night. A good one. Big Ten football under the lights, Cornhuskers and Gophers at TCF Bank Stadium. One of the players that we follow from afar, and you see him all the time, Ben, is J.D. Spielman, the junior wideout out of Eden Prairie. Of course, his father is Rick Spielman, Minnesota Vikings GM. I know he's been hobbled a bit, too. What's the status of J.D. midweek?
Yeah, J.D.'s pound for pound the toughest guy on our team. As you know, he's not the biggest guy, but you know, he is fearless when it goes up to, when it's time to go over the middle for a catch. He's reliable. He's always there. He's tough. He's taken big hit after big hit this year and really hasn't missed any time. Now, he had a weird helmet to a knee issue last week that knocked him out. They don't think anything structurally is wrong with it. It's a pain tolerance thing. So, you know, we'll see how he bounces back. I would say he has a better chance to play than Adrian right now, if I had to tell you, but again, we'll see what happens when the game rolls around. He did miss a little bit of time at the end of the year last year with an injury as well. But he is a really tough kid, and if there's any chance that he can play, he's going to play.
What is Nebraska doing to try to prepare for the weather? You're coming to the Bold North. I know it's been warm lately in Lincoln and around the state of Nebraska. It's been warm here, but it's going to change dramatically. Is Scott Frost and company doing anything to try to get ready for that?
They're not doing anything, which from what we hear is quite the contrast of the approach of PJ Fleck in Minneapolis. They're not doing anything to prepare for it. They're talking about it. They understand that the weather conditions are going to be poor. But they said, you know, we're going to approach it as it's a mindset, and, you know, we're going to prepare mentally for it. But in terms of the physical preparation, they're not going to do anything in terms of, you know, stick their hands in the water. They're not going to put the balls in water, make them slick. They're not going to do any of that. But they are preparing, I would say, mentally for it.
All right. Nebraska football has not been dominant like it once was. But it's still, as you know, Ben, it's a huge deal from Omaha to Ogallala. I mean, everybody's keyed in on that program. You don't have pro sports. How big is this game? I mean, Minnesota's 2-0, 5-0 overall. The Huskers are 2-1 in the conference and 4-2 overall. I mean, the winner's in pretty good shape. The loser definitely takes a step back.
Yeah, this is a huge game. And they've taken notice what's happening with PJ Fleck in Minneapolis. I mean, he's really done a good job turning that thing around, really ever since the Nebraska game a year ago, where Nebraska hung half a hundred on Minnesota. They've really turned it around. And I think there's a lot of admiration around here in Lincoln about what he's been able to do as Minnesota's head coach. And now they're going to try and, you know, replicate that and hopefully slow them down. Minnesota's won some really close games this year. And I think, you know, they're very envious and cognizant of their offense right now with the way that those receivers are playing. They're no joke. And I think, you know, it's something that the Husker fans around here are hoping that the Huskers can do, you know, maybe by the end of the year, this year, or even in the next year, is to turn that corner and be a continually ranked team in college football like Minnesota is right now. And, you know, hopefully those building blocks are there. But Husker fans have definitely taken notice with what's happening in Minneapolis and the program that PJ Fleck is running.
Yeah, and once upon a time, the bar of expectation in Lincoln was national championship or bust. Those days are long gone. They're in the rearview mirror. But what is, though, the expectation level now for Nebraska football? Because as you just laid it out, Ben, they're trying to get back to where they were, but they're not quite there. So what's realistic as far as fan hopes and you know, raising the bar?
Yeah, the expectation is something around here that doesn't ever really change much. I mean, you think that maybe it should with their record in the past, but people expect big things in Lincoln. You know, they expect the Huskers to put a quality product on the field. I know a first-year head coach, and they're going to give him some Scott Frost the time he needs and patience and all that. But, you know, here in just year two with the national media, picking Nebraska unanimously to win the West, I don't think they necessarily expected that at all. But, you know, it's something that you deal with here in Lincoln. As you said, the expectation is always here, and it's something that is never going to escape this program. And I think Scott Frost is kind of feeling the effects of that a little bit right now with, losing a couple of games that we thought on paper Nebraska should have won. Certainly not Ohio State, but definitely the Colorado game. And you're buckling in for what's going to be a really tough, physical Big Ten West couple of stretch here with Minnesota and Wisconsin looming. Found out last week Northwestern's no slouch. I mean, this is a tough league. And, you know, the Nebraska's going to have to find a way to compete with these guys every Saturday.
Yeah, the Wildcats and Huskers last week, very close. Nebraska wins it 13-10. Previous week, Ohio State roughs up Nebraska 48-7. That game was in Lincoln. What were your takeaways on the Buckeyes? Are they, kind of a potential national title contender, maybe getting into that Fab Four? Are they that good?
My take on that is this, and I've been talking to a lot of people about it. Nebraska has been blown out by a lot of teams, and I've seen them lose to a lot of teams. And a lot of them, sometimes you walk away and you go, you know, that team really wasn't all that good. Ohio State is all that good. This is my third year on the sideline. This is my 11th year covering the team. Ohio State is by far the best team I've ever seen in person. There's no weakness on that team. Physically, they're there. The scheme is beautiful, and what they run, Coach Day, there's no drop-off at all with Coach Meyer. It's certainly a different approach. It's a little more laid back than what Coach Meyer was running there, but they're legit. They're really, really, really good, and I would be shocked if they're not at the very least in the playoff and competing for a national championship down the line.
All right, Cornhusker Nation getting ready to head north. How many fans do you think make the trip?
It's hard to say, put a number on it. I mean, I would say anywhere in the neighborhood of 10,000, maybe. I think it's probably a conservative guess. I mean, you go back and look at the Colorado game in Boulder, and the Huskers had, I think that's stadium holds right around 70, and it was half Husker fans, 35,000 were there. So I would expect the Huskers to turn out pretty well, and I would set 10,000 as a conservative line.
And the Gophers don't like hearing this, but it's still reality. I saw part of the Illinois game last week at TCF Bank Stadium, and that thing was not packed. It was not a sellout. Minnesota still needs help, and when you get these fan bases like Nebraska or Iowa or Wisconsin, and they come in and stage a coup d'etat, they fill up the building. So it should be a fun vibe with a lot of red and a lot of maroon and gold in the house.
Yeah, it's going to be a great atmosphere. I'm looking forward to it. Night game, TCF Banks, and, you know, Minnesota's undefeated. They got a little swag to them. I'm sure that they're in Minneapolis. There's a little buzz around what they're doing right now. And, you know, primetime games always help. Husker fans can't help but remember the last time what happened when we were there. Minnesota dominated. So it'll be intriguing to see what the Huskers can run out there this time on Saturday night in Minneapolis.
All right, Ben, thanks for joining us, and we'll see you Saturday at TCF Bank Stadium.
No problem, guys. Thanks for having me.
All right, very good. He's Ben McLaughlin, the sideline reporter for the Nebraska Cornhuskers Radio Network. Gophers will host the Huskers Saturday night, 6:30 kickoff at TCF Bank Stadium. Can P.J. Fleck and his team go to 3-0 in the Big Ten West and 6-0 overall? They're still not ranked in the top 25, but I do believe if they get a win on Saturday night, they will crack the top 25. The Tyler Johnson, Rashad Bateman, Alex Morgan, Shannon Brooks and company, that they'll find themselves ranked in the top 25, but they got to get a victory first.
I haven't been around, so I haven't really followed the Gophers all that close over the last few years. Since PJ Fleck has gotten in, are we starting to see more of PJ Fleck's guys now with the talent starting to show up, and we're kind of the old recruits are kind of getting cycled out? You know what I mean?
To a point. I mean, you still have guys like Antoine Winfield Jr. He's a key part of that defense that go back to the Tracy Clays regime. But I think PJ's starting to get the kind of athletes he wants in here. And will it pay off? Will there be dividends? Is there going to be a huge payday? We'll see. Because Gopher fans are still saying, well, okay, who have they knocked off yet? Illinois is not very good. Purdue, that's a pretty good road win. And then you have the three squeakers in the non-conference, Georgia Southern, Fresno State, and South Dakota State. I think this game against Nebraska, even though the Cornhuskers are unranked, if they get that win, especially if they do it in convincing fashion, people might start to buy in, because there is no Michigan, Michigan State, or Ohio State on the schedule. So things are falling in favor of the Gophers to possibly winning 9 or 10 games, but they need to get this one Saturday if they want to hit all their goals and check all the boxes. It's 10:47 here on Lake Night on CCO. It's a Lake Night on a Wednesday, 10:50 in the Twin Towns. Eric in for Henry. We've got 63 degrees outside. Still a spectacular evening weather-wise. I mean, comfortable, mild. That's all going to change, though. The weather will get dicey, as they say, Friday and Saturday. Possible snow, rain, a lot of wind. Should be fun, right? October in Minnesota. Update from NLDS Game 5 in Los Angeles. Washington 3, the Dodgers 3, bottom 8 in that one. Winner will take on St. Louis in the NLCS. Cardinals beat the Braves earlier today, 13-1, courtesy of a 10-run first inning. All right. Interesting nugget here out of the National Hockey League. The Philadelphia Flyers play their home games at Wells Fargo Center, and the arena now has a rage room. Yes, indeed, a rage room.
A rage room?
Yep. Fans can actually go in this room and break things. Now, this is like low-hanging fruit, Chris. Philadelphia is America's booing capital. Fans there go to bed angry and wake up angrier. It's a rough and tumble city. And so I'm not shocked they have a rage room at Wells Fargo Center. Remember, the old Vet, one of the worst stadiums ever built, had a court in the bowels of the facility where they took the fans who were arrested and they immediately charged them at the stadium.
Yes, they did. Yep.
So now they have a rage room for the Flyers. And their fans might as well bring back the Broad Street Bullies.
But here's what I do. I appreciate the concept, Philadelphia Flyers. I really do. And again, yeah, if there's ever a well-adjusted fan base that didn't need something like this, it's totally Philadelphia. I mean, I can't imagine why Philadelphia would want to be the trial. But, you know, nonetheless, what we know that fans sometimes alcohol-fueled, emotionally fueled. Sometimes fans take it out on other people. Are you going to have to sign a waiver saying, you know what? Yeah, you're going to be able to break this bat. You're going to be able to break this racket. You can punch this pillow. You can do whatever. Just don't touch a fellow individual. What happens? Because we know there's fan-on-fan violence everywhere. You see it all the time. I don't know. I mean, I appreciate the sentiment. How can you control this, though?
In my opinion, this is a marketing department with too much time on their hands. The Rage Room debuted tonight, by the way. Flyers had their home opener against New Jersey.
So do you have to like reserve a time to get there? Or, I mean, do you just, you say, oh, I'm so mad at my team.
I would think it's got to be spontaneous.
You need to go to the rage room. Well, let's see. Fans can do walk-up sessions or reserve a time slot.
But okay. It's Philadelphia.
All right. I just want to see, what do you do? Oh, they're calling it a disassembly room.
Fine. Yeah, you can break things.
Disassembly room. Find tickets. Best available. So you got to pay $35 to break things. You know what? I know. I'm going to be so mad. I'm going to pay in advance to go to this rage room, okay? That's how upset I'm going.
Another revenue stream for a pro sports team.
Oh, best of it. Oh, they've got, okay, so you can have it during the game. You can have it, okay, it looks like you can have it before the game, during the intermission, or post game. Why would you want to go break things before the game even started?
Like I said, Philadelphia fans go to bed angry, and they wake up angrier.
That's pretty good.
It's in their DNA. When I did my book back in 2002 called Slices of the NFL, I went all over the league and interviewed fans, players, broadcasters, coaches, cheerleaders, you name it. And one of the games I went to was the last Monday night game at the Old Vet in Philly. It was the day before Halloween. It was the New York Giants and the Philadelphia Eagles. And it was remember when ABC had the games, they started at 9 o'clock Eastern. And a couple of days before the game, walking around downtown Philly with my brother Gary, we ran into people and they said, well, what are you doing here? I said, well, I'm here to do a book on the NFL. We're going to be at the Vet Monday night. Everybody we talked to said, don't go to the 700 level of the Vet. And I said, what's that mean? They said, that's the upper deck. And that's when the fights break out. Stay away from the 700 level. So we did. We had field passes. We're standing on the sideline of the Vet. They're playing the Giants. I did not realize how much hatred Eagle fans have for the Giants. It makes Packers Vikings, Chris, look rather tame.
I've heard that the 700 level in Philadelphia is like the worst level of any sport event. Granted, out at the old,
the old vet.
I don't know what the link is like right now, and frankly, I don't really care. But I've heard that that's vicious. But I can only imagine what it would be like for a game against the Giants or the Cowboys.
Well, and picture a 9 o'clock Eastern start with the fans tailgating for about 5 hours. They're liquored up when they get into the stadium. And, it was game on. In fact, when they announced the Giants' starting lineup, they said at quarterback, number 5, Kerry Collins. And every fan said, sucks. And I thought, oh, wow, they really are angry here. And they said at running back, Tiki Barber, sucks. And they all said it in unison for all of the Giants' starters. That's when I realized I was in Philadelphia, America's booing capital. This is CCO.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.